cancellation came in, cancel us out. We're having a pop quiz. And you get the opportunity to answer the question, is suffering a sign of God's lack of care for us? You got your pencil out? You ready for the quiz? I mean, everybody went back to school. We're all back in school now as we roll into September. And you remember the days that for some of us, it was just a few years ago when we were sitting in those desks. And we heard those dreaded words, pop quiz. We were going to be tested on what we should have learned to that point. And so the teacher calls out, pop quiz. All right, get out your pencils. Here's the question. I want to see what you learned. The question I want us to consider today is this question of is suffering a sign of God's lack of care for us? Now, pencils now. This is why I think we're going to get to the end because somebody did not put this up in the pencil. But what is responsibility of it to show the pencil? I mean, the right is to have somebody else who is not having the right to do it. We don't want to do the work of someone else to do the work. We don't want to put in the effort. We want someone else to put in the effort so that we can get the effort on that effort. I don't know. I just don't care. Right? So we can get the pencil sharpened without your responsibility in mind. And it's our responsibility to learn so that when the pathway comes, we are ready. Last Sunday, how it was that I went to step right inside the house. closer. Who is God looking to God? And He is looking to promote, He is looking to bring increase, He is looking to establish success in your life and farming you forward. And His purpose is made in His plans, but because of His love for us, God is going to test us to see if we are ready for the promotion. To see if we are ready for you. What has been learned? So we want to pass the test. We want to prove our readiness. So we're going to continue to look at this. The book of Romans, chapter 5. And I encourage you to turn there with me in your Bibles, as we're going to look today a little bit further into that chapter. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. Now, if you are joining us today for the first time, we're so glad that you're here. Good morning to you. Those of you who are present in the house, and those of you who are visiting and joining us in worship online, I'd like to say good morning to my friend Glenn, who is on a stent. He's recovering from hip surgery, and I invited him to join us online today.
Just as pleasantly surprised as I was. I was like, I can't even go to McDonald's for this price. And there you got a whole buffet. And don't I look like I enjoy buffets? I mean, they got ice cream. And nobody says you can't have, nobody says you can't have seconds. And dessert, pizza, fried chicken. I'm like, goodness. This is a good place. So I'd like to give Coach Gibbs's book to someone. Great book. And is anybody here 25 years of age? About 25, thereabouts. Yeah? All right. Come quickly. My wife will give this to you. And this is a great book. Game Plan for Life. No? Well, that's okay. You look close enough, all right? And you say, well, why 25? Well, we're kind of figuring some things out when we're 25, right? We all need a game plan for life. And Coach Gibbs lays some things out, and happy to share that resource with you. Well, if you are willing and you are physically able, would you stand with me out of respect and honor to the reading of God's Word today, as we're going to look together at Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, and conclude
the chapter at verse 21. Scripture says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift, for the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin, for Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all the people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. That scripture tells us that Adam's sin and Adam's rebellion as one man resulted in man's misery and our problems. Sin entered into the world, affecting every member of the human race. And death came into the world, and it spread to all of humanity as a result of the sin of that one man named Adam. Now, this is why you and I are born with a sin nature. This is why we sin. We're sinners. And sinners do sinful things. Another way to think about it is we do a lot of wrongdoing. It's kind of a PC way of saying sin, right? Wrongdoing. It feels a little more acceptable, a little more palatable than to call ourselves sinners. It feels a little bit easier to swallow when we just say, well, we do a lot of wrongdoing, don't we? We do a lot of things that we shouldn't do. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So there's probably a lot of really nice people here. You're looking good today. Thanks for showering and shaving. You put clothes on. We don't have anyone naked running around today. We're thankful for that. But the scripture says that everyone, you, me, us, we've all sinned. And sinful people cause problems for themselves, and we cause problems for others. Now, I'd like to tell you about the problems that other people have caused me. And maybe you'd like to tell some other people about problems that somebody else has caused you. I mean, it's a whole lot easier to talk about the problems that other people have caused us than for Tony to take a moment of self-reflection and consider whether or not I have caused problems for someone else because of my sin, because of my wrongdoing. There is misery, there is pain, there are problems. We all encounter hurts and hardships. We live with hang-ups, some of which we've been holding on to for far too long. I was talking with someone rather recently who is older than I am, and I realized of this individual that they have been living with years of regret, years of hurt and pain brought on by someone else. And they've been holding on to the hurt, never releasing the hurt, never healing from the hurt, holding on to the hurt, holding on to the pain. Sinful people cause pain and problems for other people. We've done that. And the scripture says that Adam, because of this one man's sin, sin was introduced, and we now all have a sin nature from the moment that we are born. Now what this does is, this should cause us to pause and to consider the far-reaching impact of our lives as individuals. We have a tendency to think that, well, it's just me. I mean, it's only affecting me, is it? Is it really only affecting you? In that moment, Adam's actions affected all of mankind. Our actions affect others around us. So never underestimate, friends, the far-reaching impact of your individual life and how you, as one person, have great influence and great impact upon others. See, I meet a lot of people that say, oh, I'm not a leader. I'm not a leader. And I say, oh, everybody's a leader. Oh, no, not me, Tony. Because their definition of a leader is inaccurate. They think a leader is someone who orates or someone who stands before people and speaks, such as what I'm doing in this moment. Is that all a leader is? Or is leadership simply defined as influence? And if leadership is influence, we are all leaders. Who are you influencing? Who are you impacting? Never underestimate your influence and your impact. Romans chapter 5, verse 15 says, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, forgiveness of our sin, forgiveness of our wrongdoings, has been made possible through the physical death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, but through the shedding of his blood, there was an offering of forgiveness for the sins of all of mankind, including yours and mine, if we will accept the gracious gift made available through the work of Jesus Christ. And if we accept that gracious gift, Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5 says that our problems and our trials now move from just being merely pain and suffering, but they become purposeful. That God will take our pain and he will make it produce something purposeful. The problems and trials can move beyond simply suffering, and they will produce in us endurance. You got some grit in you. You got some tenacity. You got some resilience building up. That even when life's sucker punches you and surprises you, you are enduring. And you're enduring how? With character. Character that is admirable, character that is honorable, character that is reflective of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That holds a hope that is sure and that is confident, that though problems may be present, that problem is temporary and that problem is becoming purposeful. God is doing something in my life through this present problem. So for those who are in Christ, problems become relationship with Jesus Christ and you've not accepted his gift of grace, then your misery is simply misery. Your problems are simply problems, and your suffering is simply suffering. But the gift that is available to you and I through the work of Jesus Christ that is spoken of here in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, this is a gift that is made available to us, but it did not come without great cost. Now look at this with me. Jesus suffered on that cross mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Christ endured pain, and the pain that he endured, watch this, it was deliberate, and it was directed by God himself. Ooh. I mean, tell me, I thought that God was loving, I thought God was merciful, I thought God was gracious. You're saying that God deliberately directed the pain and the suffering of his own son? That Jesus Christ endured physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual pain at the hands of his own father? Yes. Scripture says that Jesus Christ endured the suffering assigned to him. Oh, now if he, being the Son of God, was assigned suffering, he, being the Son of God, endured pain. How can I, as one who is certainly not the Son of God, expect that I not face problems, trials, difficulties, hardships? You see, the suffering of Jesus Christ made it possible, as we looked at last week, that we can enter into a right relationship with God through faith in Christ, accepting his gift of grace that forgives us of our sin and our wrongdoing. No longer are we enemies of God, but we become friends of God. So now in my relationship with God, whatever problem, whatever trial may come, it now is purposeful in my life. So also was it in Christ's life, that his pain was purposeful. Now look with me here at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, where it says, "For to this you have been called." To what? To this. To what? The suffering. The pain. The heartache. The gift that was made possible by Christ came at the cost of pain and suffering. That was directed and delivered by God the Father. It was purposeful pain to make a pathway and a way for you and I to enter into a relationship with God. And 1 Peter says, "For to this, this pain, this suffering, you, who's you? You, me, us, me. You have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." I mean, aren't you glad to be in church this morning? I mean, this is such an encouraging word. I mean, you're so glad you're here today. I mean, I gave you a pencil and you thought, "Oh, we're for a good day." Right? And we're talking about the task of pain and suffering. But we all recognize that pain and suffering is a part of life. There isn't a person here that hasn't faced pain and suffering. And the Bible says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." John 16, verse 33 says, "You will have suffering in this world." Notice it doesn't say we might. It doesn't say we could. It doesn't say possibly, sort of, maybe. No, it says you will have suffering. And we've endured pain and problems. We've experienced them in the past. We'll experience them again in the future. So how do we pass this test of pain and suffering? We serve God in the midst of our suffering. Pass the test. serve God in our suffering. So in considering the question, is suffering evidence of God's lack of care for us? Certainly not. Now, probably as I asked you that question a moment ago, you thought to yourself intellectually, you maybe like I want to quickly say, oh, no. Certainly suffering does not reflect that God is lacking in care for me. Intellectually, I want to say that, but emotionally in my feelings, there have been more than one occasion in my life, and very likely yours, where the pain, the problems, the trials, and the challenges have been so intense that I have felt as though, God, if you really care for me, why am I enduring such suffering? Why does this pain hurt so badly? Could it be that God uses pain and suffering to reflect his love and his concern for us, that we might be drawn to him through our pain? That God would use our suffering to draw us deeper into relationship with him? That God uses suffering to draw people close to himself, to protect us from being alienated from him. It's meant to dissatisfy us with our present world. It instills in us a longing for a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and an eternal reward of heaven beyond this earth. These are the positives and the benefits of suffering. That God, in his love and in his care for us, uses suffering to draw us closer to himself. So as the pain presents itself, as the pop quiz comes, serve God in the midst of our suffering. Pass the test. Prove you are a candidate for divine promotion. Fight against fickle feelings. Feelings are not factual. My feelings say God must not care for me. If he did, he wouldn't be allowing this. But just because I'm feeling that doesn't mean that that's the facts. I have to resist following my feelings. I've got to follow the facts. I've got to follow the truth. And the truth is that God uses my suffering to either draw me into deeper relationship, or I choose to distance myself from him. Suffering either bonds us to him, or it breaks us from him. The choice is ours. Undoubtedly, some of us sitting here today, you're enduring some difficult things. You're facing some hard things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he says this. He says, so keep me from becoming proud. I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. That doesn't sound like something I'd like to be given. That's not the Christmas gift you were hoping for. He says, I was given this, and three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time, he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now, I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, while this is great truth, I have to admit to you, friends, it is easier to read it than to walk out. It is easier to speak these words from the pages of Scripture than to live them out. It's one thing to read the words that say, here, I boast about my weaknesses. I take pleasure in my weakness, in insults, hardships, persecutions. And I'd just rather avoid all of that, wouldn't you? Sure we would. We live in a culture of comfort. And we pursue comfort at all costs in our culture. And in many ways, it's killing us. Dying from the inside out. The Apostle Paul here says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Rather than avoiding the pain, what if we were to embrace the pain in pursuit of a deeper relationship with God? What if we were to welcome the lesson that is learned in the place of pain, that we would be further bonded in relationship with Christ rather than breaking relationship? Pass the test. Pass the test of suffering and problems and pain by serving God in the midst of your suffering. Are you passing the test today? Are you passing the test? You want the promotion. You want the increase. You want more. Pass the test. How do I pass the test? Serve God in the midst of the suffering. Don't follow the hope of feelings. Follow the facts. God uses suffering to bond us to himself. God uses suffering to draw us deeper. But we will either be bonded or broken. The choice is ours. Serve him in the midst of your suffering. All the time, you don't know what I've been through. That's true. I don't. But I do know humanity, and humanity has endured some hard stuff. Some of you in this room, you know what it is to be betrayed. You know the darkness of loneliness. You know the deep worries and fears of financial collapse and ruin. You know the heartache of loss on a very deep level. You know relationships that have been ruined, hopes that have been dashed, dreams that have been crushed. These are commonalities in our shared humanity. While our experiences may be very different, at the core of them, there are emotions and there are feelings that we all have encountered and can relate to. And in the midst of that, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I have a choice of whether I will become more bonded to Christ or broken in relationship from him. We can pass the test of suffering and pain by serving Christ in the midst of the suffering. Easier said than done. But I invite you, friends, to join me in my heartache. I invite you to join me in my personal pain. You've got yours. I invite you to join me and to join us as a church in pursuit of Christ, regardless of the challenge. Let us serve him in our sufferings and draw closer to him. The goal is to pass the test. The test won't be forever. They'll come and end. And it's Christ as well. The test is over. Time to see who's ready for promotion. Time to see who's ready for increase. Time to see who's ready for peace in the kingdom of God. Let's pass the test. Now, in passing this test, we're mindful that our pain isn't just about us personally. When God allows suffering into your life and into mine, it's giving us the ability to connect with others around us. My mess has become my message and my mission. That you haven't heard my mess yet. But there's a mess. I mean, I can look pretty good, right? I mean, my wife says I look pretty good, so I got one for you today. This beautiful hat, she's with me, so things are always better when she's with me. But I can take a shower and shave it up and clean it up. But we all got a mess. People got problems. Hearts that are hurt. Lives that have experienced difficulties. But our pain is not just about us personally. For the person who is in right relationship with Jesus Christ, God wants to take your mess and make it your message and his mission. His mission. He wants to take your mess and use it to positively impact people around you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, all praise to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. Here's the truth. Others will know that you and I are followers of Jesus Christ by how we respond to our suffering and we respond to their suffering. Oh, that chapter down there. Because of our influence, people are watching, people are listening, people are looking, and they are listening more so, and they are looking even more intently when they learn of our suffering, when they hear of our hardship. They are looking to see, they are listening to hear the reality of this relationship that we speak of having with God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And others will know whether we are a follower of Jesus Christ by the way we respond to our suffering and to their suffering. The question is, are others seeing and hearing that we are followers of Jesus Christ because we allow the pain of the problem to draw us deeper into personal relationship with Him? Are we passing the test because the challenges that are in front of us, the trials that have come to us this week, they have brought us into a deeper relationship with Christ? Is this what people are seeing? Let us pass the test of suffering and pain by serving God in our suffering and serving others in their suffering. Your pain isn't just for you. God wants to bond you to Himself, and He wants to take your mess and make it your message and your mission. That as others learn of your difficulty, they're listening, they're watching, they're looking. Remember, we all have influence. We're all leading in some way, in some sphere, in some circle. Family relationships, friendships, workplaces, community groups. People are looking to see in the reality of our problems, is there a depth, is there a practical application to the relationship of Jesus Christ? Pass the test of being suffering. Serve God in your suffering and serve others in their suffering. I want you to think with me. Who do you know that is suffering? If you have a sharpened pencil or a pen, write their name down. Who do you know that is suffering today? And how can you serve them this week? Let's not just talk about it, let's actually do something about it. How can you serve them this week in a tangible way? Somebody you know that is facing hardship, difficulty, problems. How could you serve them? How could you help them? Maybe it's offering transportation or help with housework. Maybe it's mowing the lawn, assisting with a maintenance issue in their home or their business. Perhaps it's taking on some added workload in the workspace temporarily for a period of time to aid them in their time of difficulty. What can you do tangibly this week to serve someone else in their suffering, even though you may be facing hardship in your own life? Who are they? How can you help them? And let us ask God to help us in serving them. Today is September 8th. It is 988 National across the United States. Just so you know what those 988 is the National Suicide and Crisis Prevention Line. This is a great resource to know about. We're raising awareness about this. Did you know that Montana, for the last 30 years, has been in the top 5 suicide rates across the nation? And we don't have the population mass that a lot of other states do. But tragically, we have people dying in self-inflicted death at record levels, and we have for 30 years. We have people suffering in our state. They don't really want to die physically. They want their anguish to die. They're facing heartache, hardship, problems, suffering. Maybe you say, well, Tony, I'm not a counselor. I don't know what to say. I'm not a professional that could somehow intervene. Here's a great resource for as a person who is struggling or perhaps in crisis, this connects people to compassionate care for any mental health or substance use challenge. Research tells us that persons end their conversation much more hope-filled after having spoken with someone at them a day when they first initiated the phone call. This is a great resource to know. See, it's not that you have to have all the answers. Sometimes it's just knowing about a simple resource that we can help pass to another person who's facing pain, who's encountering suffering. So maybe this is a resource that you want to put into your smartphone, into your contact list. It's the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. A person doesn't have to be suicidal to call that. Somebody who's struggling, somebody that's facing hardship and pain, and they're trying to navigate that and find a pathway forward. This is a good resource to be aware of. So who do you know that's struggling today? How can you serve them this week in a tangible way? And let's ask God to help us to do so. Please stand with me this morning as we come to a time of prayer. You know, maybe you're here with us today and you say, Tony, I'm really struggling with a matter. I'm facing some challenges of my own. Here's what I know, friends. Revealing is the beginning of healing. So behind our blue shirts and my clean clothes, sometimes there is a hurting heart. But there are some dark, difficult things. Maybe that's what you're facing. I want to pray with you today. Maybe your choice would just simply be today to say, God, I need you. I welcome your help. I want to serve you in the midst of this matter, whatever it may be. Let's pass the task of suffering and pain by choosing to serve God in the midst of it. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? In a moment of reflection, that's your desire today, to serve God in the midst of the suffering, whatever it may be. And you're welcoming his help today. Would you just raise your hand and pray with us today? All across this room, lots of hands raised, representing lots of different circumstances and situations. Will you just leave your hand up for a moment? Now, here's why we're raising our hand. Not simply to indicate to me, but more so we're raising our hand by opening our heart and saying, God, see me as I stand here in chapel hall. See me, God, as I'm watching, observing online. Lord, my heart is open. I am eager. I need your help. So today, Jesus, as we're gathered together here and online, with upraised hands, representing the openness of our heart and the desire that we would serve you in the midst of our challenging matters, we ask for your help. We ask for your comfort. We ask for your strength. We ask for your provision. We pray, God, that we would be bonded to you. We would go deeper in relationship with you. That we would not follow fickle feelings. That we would not listen to lies that are brought through thoughts that would be intended to draw us away from you. God, we silence anything that is not of you and not from you. That only that which is of you and from you would gain entrance and influence over our thoughts, our hearts, and our lives. We give ourselves to you in this day, in the midst of our matters. So would you step into these matters with us? Would you grant us strength and wisdom and discernment as we navigate these things? We look to you for your help and your guidance, for your provision and your safety. We thank you, God, that you have promised to be with us always. So whatever our matter is, there you are. Wherever we are today, there you are. We welcome your presence. We're mindful of your presence. And we ask for and we thank you in advance for your provision of help in these problems and in these challenges that are represented behind our upraised hands. We lift our hands up to receive from you, to take in what you have for us, God. We welcome it in Jesus' name. How many of you across this place today would say, Tony, I know someone. Maybe it's in your workplace, maybe it's in your friendship circle, your community group, at the gym, or your hobby group. Maybe you know someone that's
struggling. They're facing a hardship. They're facing some pain, and you're aware of it. And they're coming to your mind today. Perhaps you raise your hand and say, Tony, I'm going to stand in representation of this friend, this family member, this person in my workplace. I'm going to stand in for them. I'm asking that God would intervene in their matter and that He would use me in my sphere of influence with them to serve them tangibly in some way this week. That would be reflective of the grace, the goodness, and the love of God towards them. Anybody else that is struggling today? So God, we see hands all across this place that represent men and women, young and old, co-workers, family members, and friends. And we lift our hands on their behalf. We think of them, their faces are at the forefront of our thoughts at this moment. And we ask God, would you intervene in their life? Would you come on the scene of their situation and provide for them and minister to their need? And would you use us as you've placed us in relationship with them? Would you use us to represent you? Would you use us to tangibly serve them in the name of Christ, expressing your care for them, demonstrating your love for them as we would serve them this week? So help us in this way, that as we serve them, they would see you. As we speak to them, they would hear you. Lord, that we would love people in a tangible manner. Thank you for the opportunity to serve others in their suffering as you continue to serve us in ours. We love you, God. We thank you for this time together today. May your blessing be upon your people. As we go from this place, we're thankful that you do not remain here, but you reside in our hearts and in our lives, so you are going with us. Fan out across our community as we go from this place today with the blessing of God upon